Hello, everyone. This is Greg, your host of Goddamn GameCube. Welcome to Season 3. If you enjoy listening to our show, consider subscribing to us on YouTube for exclusive video content. Thank you and enjoy today's episode. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Beppy are your hosts today, and on this episode, we are going to be talking about Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Our friend Derek is here with us as well. Thank you for joining us. So I did not personally play the Legendary Edition, so I am going to let Beppy take it away, and I will let Beppy and Derek go crazy here, and I will interject where necessary. So Derek, thank you for joining, and Beppy, take it away.
Sure. So if you're an audience member, you might be wondering why we're going back to Mass Effect so soon. We just did 4 episodes on it. So as it turns out, I mean, like, we kind of did that to hype up for the Legendary Edition coming out, you know, revisiting the old games. But now that the collection is out, we had a chance to play it. There have been some improvements, some not so improvements. Ultimately, I think it took me around 130 hours to get through the whole thing. So you're going to pick up some stuff. So I have more to say. Hopefully, our viewership will tolerate a little bit more time in the Mass Effect galaxy. And I had a very positive impression of the collection. I wanted to get Derek here for sure, just because we missed you so much last time around.
It was so upsetting.
And we wanted to give you, I mean, you've played these games probably more than any of us. And I just, like, I don't even know. I mean, there's so much to say. I know you have some very unique things to say. But overall, I think my takeaway from this experience was that I viewed the whole thing a lot more cohesively than I used to. It made me, I mean, because the game, especially one, plays so much better now, it made me appreciate different things. Do you have any particular things to say about the first one?
Well, yeah, because upon my Legendary Edition playthrough, I have now played the first one 8 times.
Wow,
yes. That's bonkers.
And usually, I think the only time I didn't 100% it was my first playthrough.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, I thought the gunplay was a lot tighter. I thought
so.
The cover system was a lot better. The inventory was a lot more organized. I would have liked to have even seen it a little bit more, wouldn't you? Like, because I just felt like I was sifting through crap like a lot. And I was just like, I just wish I was doing something else.
Yeah, you know, I always liked that the micromanaging element of the first one.
Sure.
And it was kind of, I don't, on my first playthrough, like way back in the day when I first discovered the trilogy, I was actually saddened to see that the second and third one took that away. And
sure.
It does. A lot of the customization is done for you in those games, whereas in the first one you have almost complete control. What I will say, though, you do spend a lot of time in the menu, especially when it comes to the weapon upgrades. And there's only really 2 types I ever really use. The tungsten rounds for, you know, making your gun more effective against synthetics, and the shredder rounds to make your guns more effective against the organics. Whenever I have like polonium, incendiary, cryo, or any of those, I just go Omnigel.
Sell them Omnigel.
But now, on that topic, though, I don't know if you guys remember this, because I had also recently gone back and played the original shortly before these new ones came out. When you're in that part of the menu and you're trying to, like, you're converting all of your things down to Omnigel, if you're in the upgrades menu and you're like all the way down the bottom of the list, you hit the Y button, it takes you all the way back up, and you have to keep scrolling down every time.
Yep.
Yes. They fixed that in the Legendary Edition, finally.
I do like the, I don't know if you messed around with it all. I played a lot with the explosive rounds this time. They overheat your guns really fast, but they're a lot of fun. I just feel like it kind of conformed to what Greg was saying on our Resident Evil podcast. You may not have heard, but that it's like a lot of just objectively better things, and you have to keep like cycling out the irrelevant ones
that make
it worse.
Sure.
That was kind of a pain in the ass. But did you like the updated Mako controls?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
That booster is a godsend.
Oh, how was that with the updated Mako controls? Because it's like, you know, really like a derided part of the first game.
You can play with the old controls if you want.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a setting. But they added a boost function in addition to the jump. So it's a lot more.
It's intermittent, but you can manipulate it to make it perpetual. If as long as you jump after the boost runs out, you maintain the momentum of the boost, and then by the time you land, the boost is recharged again, so you can just keep.
Yeah, they don't dick you around with the balance too much. I like a lot.
Although I never hated the Mako the way the rest of the fan base did.
I didn't either, but people hate it.
I know. I honestly, you get used to it after a while.
Yeah.
Because you know, toward the end of my last few playthroughs, I got like pretty good at the shitty controls. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say that they're good. But I mean, I don't think they're that bad.
I am with you.
Yeah.
That's what makes this a great remaster, is that you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. Where if you really like the old controls, you can have them back.
Yeah. I didn't love them. But there is one thing that they still haven't fixed, though. The thing that's, I think, to me, the thing that sucked the most about, or still sucks the most about the Mako, is when you drive like up a wall, like at a 90-degree angle. If there was no rampage to make that happen, instead of just crashing the way you would normally would, you go.
Yep. You just kind of slip your way up.
Exactly. Yep. It's so, because it happens on Pharos and on Ilos. But whenever you have to drive down hallways, and it still happens in the Legendary Edition.
Interesting.
It's funny, because I was going to bring up that a lot of things are tightened up and fixed, but I did encounter some new bugs that I never encountered before. Did you run into any bugs?
No. There was one instance. I was on a side quest where somebody used stasis on me, and it took way too long for me to get back up.
Yeah.
But eventually I did.
Sure.
That Paragon glitch I told you about recently?
Yeah.
That's still in there.
Can you explain how that works?
Okay. So I was elated to discover that they did not fix this. Greg and I were talking about this somewhat recently, how there's that conversation on Pharos that you need 12 charm for.
Yes.
And if you want to play the planets in the order, like the optimal order, which in my opinion would be Therum, and then Pharos, Novaria, and interchangeable, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Doing Vermeier before any of those is the very thought of that. I can't fathom.
Me either.
And so I think without this glitch, you would not be able to get the 12 charm for that conversation without doing everything else first. So here's what it is. So I forget the name of the planet, but it's one of those side quests where it only gets triggered if you're exploring the galaxy and you click on the planet that it's on. It's the one where you have to find the lost data module from those monkey-like creatures.
Yeah, I remember you talking to me about this.
Yes, so you get renegade points if you kill the monkeys to find it, and you get paragon if you just touch the
monkey. If you touch the monkey.
Yeah. If you click on the monkey without having killed any of them. However, once you do eventually find the monkey who has it...
You keep racking it up.
What you have to do is you hit A... You get the 6 Paragon points, and then immediately save and reload your game. So at that point, you already have the data module from that monkey, but the game forgets you already clicked on him. So then you just keep hitting A repeatedly and getting 6 Paragon points per button press.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's a good exploit.
And it's still in the game.
Yep. They didn't fix it. I was so happy.
You know what's crazy, though? Yeah. You're talking about doing Vermeier, like, out of order, in quotes, but, like, it's so cool that there's, like, recorded dialogue and stuff for if you chose to do that. That's what I really like about the first game. Something I noticed a lot about it is that they planned for these eventualities in, like, interesting, believable ways. I did like some other like just generally really impressive things about the first game was like the codex, like reading it all over again and realizing like all the, you know, it's very like airtight lore. You know, they thought of everything. It's like it's not obviously, you know, it's science fantasy, but it feels very much like a believable, like all the concepts feel like they could exist. And you know, just certain things about like the Turians, how they wear the war paint, and they, you know, politicians, sometimes they take it off and they call them like barefaced or something. Mm-hmm. It's like a pejorative term. So it's just like just really inventive, like world building that I haven't seen to that extent in a game like this. And I the voice acting, too, for its time, I thought was really impressive. Especially, this is my first time going through all three as female Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive voice acting. Very just kind of, like, hitting all the emotions perfectly. Very in context. Before I get too far, I did want to bring up the glitches were very few and far between. But one time I fell through the floor on Vermeier and it was very funny to watch. And the other time, the other time that I can remember is Thane's loyalty mission, where you have to like shadow his son or whatever and prevent him from assassinating the guy. Mm-hmm. Just at this point where for some reason it went on like fast forward and it was just like... Everything was moving, all the dialogue was moving very fast. And then I got into the cutscene where you fail, you know, like if you let him do it.
Entropy wins. And entropy always wins.
And even that was just like, it was someone like smashing X. I'm like, wait, what happened? But I was able to reload but it's, you know, so it didn't ruin the experience. It was just kind of funny that like new glitches, you know, existed where they didn't before.
At least the Benezia boss fight works now.
Oh no, my god. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I didn't run into any trouble there. Mm-hmm. Because we talked Mass Effect 2 to death about like the pros and cons and everything, but I something I wanted to bring up is how every time I play it, it's like very addicting. And it's like it's something about like the mission structure is very like episodic, like TV show. Like you can play it and feel like you accomplished something for like, you know, like 40 minutes or whatever. And it's like I found it very like just like engrossing. I don't. Do you feel the same way about that?
I get that from Mass Effect 1. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not so much from 2.
Okay.
But we'll get to that.
I just feel like it's like the missions are very bite sized, so it's easy to do and like, you know, or like binge, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's just every sort of quest and side quest feels like it's serving a purpose, and that's something that I feel like a lot of games are missing. The only thing that really, like, really brought it down for me was the scanning planets. I'm like, we should have done something about this. Mm-hmm. It's, like, very much, I feel like each game sort of has a low point where it's like, I wish I was just playing the game again. And for 2, it's definitely this. I feel like they should have, you know, just indulge me here. Imagine it was, like, you only had to scan, like, say you had a rich planet, a planet rich in resources. You should only have to scan it like 4 times, not like 6, to completely like strip it of its resources.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I think in many cases, that's probably all you would need. But if you're a completionist like me, I can't not scan the planets to depletion.
Yeah. I mean, you do need a certain amount for like your upgrades and stuff.
Because platinum is annoyingly rare.
Yeah.
Same with element zero.
Yeah.
I remember the fact that like every planet had way too much palladium and iridium was so annoying.
Yeah. I mean, overall, that was like my big kind of takeaway was like, shit, can this just be done? Like, I don't want to like grind for these kind of resources.
Exactly, because the equivalent to that with Mass Effect 1, I'd say, is just driving the Mako.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
But I like that, though. I love exploring planets in that thing.
I prefer it to scanning, but I think
we talked about that before, like when we were doing the original trilogy. We were having some back and forth about, I don't necessarily find like navigating the Mako and those cookie cutter planets fun, but it's very like in universe. And it makes a lot of sense for those to be sort of uncharted and there's not much there.
It's very, very relaxing. I don't know. I love the scenery. Like a lot of the planets look really cool.
Right.
Like there's that one where like it's all red and then there's that bright blue planet over there. Yeah. I mean,
it's less of like it's less reductive than just looking at a menu and being like, all right,
it felt like you were really exploring a universe. It's another basis on which I am still a Mako defender, even in terms of the originals.
Mm-hmm. So on that point, 3, I thought overall better than I remembered, but there's a lot of things that I wish they had fixed or at least touched up in some ways that they didn't. The Citadel is definitely my low point for that game. I think it is unholy, like in how unpleasant it is to navigate and quest. It's like I came up with a solution in my head. Like, bear with me here.
Okay.
So you have like, instead of doing what they did, we've talked about it before, with where you just go and like you overhear stuff and you oh, by the way, I heard you were looking for this sacred artifact that means a lot to your culture. Will you help us? Like, just like in the middle of like a crowded thoroughfare, just saying that to somebody, it's fucking insane. So I'm like, so what if they just had like, you can only get like, okay, because there's a lot of stuff in that game, like a lot of recorded dialogue, a lot more than I expected. There was a lot more kind of touching back on stuff, just not in like significantly like meaty ways. So I was thinking like, okay, so how about we save some time and money here and we get the actors for like Udina and Bailey to like give you these quests, like mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, the Turians need such and such a thing, you know, can you take a look at that next time you're in this system or whatever,
right?
And you can solve all your problems, right? You just turn them into him. Mm-hmm. And be like, you know what?
These are like embassy missions or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And instead of having this bizarre...
I overheard you were looking for this really rare thing.
Yeah,
what?
I happened to find it while scanning a... And that's like even like more insulting because yeah. it's like, it's just a carryover.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate that it's like, it really should have been closer to one where it's like a couple big interconnected maps. You feel mm-hmm. the same way,
like, yeah. Like, and you have to like explore a place to find the thing,
right?
But you know, it's and the worst part about the side quests in Mass Effect 3, they'll be in your menu long before you can even complete them.
Yeah, dude, it's so annoying.
They'll be the journal, I mean, not the menu.
Yes,
but and this is one thing I was really
and afterwards
really,
too.
Yes, this is one thing I was really, really, really hoping they would fix in the Legendary Edition, but
they
apparently they didn't, because. Just even in terms of the originals, the journal is a huge, like a massive downgrade from the way it was in the first two games. Mm-hmm. The first two games, all your missions, your missions, assignments, it was all very, very well organized. You would click on one of them, they'd expand to like the multiple bullet points that you have or have yet to complete. This, though, there's none of that. Like the missions and the assignments are lumped into like one category. None of them expand if you click on them. Because at least in the first two games, when you had gotten you had gotten so far, if you highlighted a particular mission, it would show like what you have to do next or what you've
points.
Done. So yeah, right. It would show your progress. Mm-hmm. This does not. So what would end up happening is you would walk by somebody, you'd overhear that thing, you know, that they need a thing from a place. You get the quest. But then at that point, the system that you're supposed to get the thing from is not yet available on the galaxy map. And
right.
even when it becomes available and you scan the planet to get the thing and you try to go back to the Citadel to give it back to the person, they're not there for you to give it back to them until you've completed, you've gotten so far in the main quest.
Yep.
Right?
Or you can miss them completely.
The amount, yeah, there's that too. And then it remains in your journal for the
forever.
Rest of the game, which is infuriating if you're a completionist and you want to beat the game having nothing left there mm-hmm. to do. Because the amount that I took to Google during like my most recent playthrough of 3 was infuriating.
It's infuriating.
The fact that like that is, I think, probably top 3 or maybe top 5 gaming sins. Of all time, the fact that I should not have to take to the wiki as often as I did just to complete menial side quests.
And I did that so often too when I was playing the original Mass Effect mm-hmm. 3, where I was like, can I just not do this yet? Like, I don't understand
exactly.
This. And like, it's the side quests are so meaningless as it is. I just feel like I'm wasting my time.
It's just like numbers on a chart.
Yeah, the amount of times I go back to the Citadel to try to give those things back to those people was all for
nothing. You're just kind of like
they
running laps
yet.
Trying to, because they will sometimes show the NPC you're looking for marked on your map, or like at least their name and what region of the map they're in, but not always. And it sucks because, like you were saying, but it also works the opposite way too, where you will scan a planet and have something, you'll have nobody to give it to for a while. And it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's so weird because the biggest problem for me this time was like right off the bat, there was something like you need to, when you're on Eden Prime, like finding mm-hmm. Javik.
Yeah,
like
that happened to me last time as well.
There's some like things you need to collect, and if you don't get all of them, it'll just stay. And I'm like, well, I can't fucking go back to Eden Prime. Can't, like, it's weird.
I know that it caused me to just bow out before the end of my last.
It just couldn't take it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Because there was one playthrough of Mass Effect 1 I did where, there were a few side quests I couldn't complete because I had gotten too far through the game and I couldn't go back to the. Mm-hmm. There were, for some reason, there were planets I couldn't go back to, and that was my fault, clearly. But I got to Ilos, and there were these things in my menu that I, sorry, the journal that I couldn't get rid of. So I straight up start of the game all the way over.
Yep.
I
drives you crazy.
I know. Yeah. I can't handle that shit.
I pretty much like that did suck. Overall, I did find myself enjoy, like, once I kind of accepted that this was not the way I would have told this story, and I was like, it was their call, you know, like they did it this way. There were certain things I would have done very differently. But I think the sheer concept of the game is good. Where you have kind of this ongoing, it's a nice like twist. It's not, I'm glad they didn't just, you know, redo one or two. You know, it has its own kind of tone and flavor. They reincorporate a lot of stuff that I liked. There's just some really stupid stuff. You know what it was? I think overall, I was thinking about how much the DLC adds to these, like 2 and 3 especially. Mm. And I wish they had like laced them in just a little bit better, because it's what I like very often in these games is going back to your crew members once you do like a major mission and checking in with them, seeing if mm-hmm. they have anything interesting to say. That's also like I brought people along certain missions just to see mm-hmm. what they'd say.
Yeah.
And it's like when you do something crazy, like you overthrow the Shadow Broker and right. like you go back to Joker, he has nothing to say about it. It's right. It's obvious like at the time they couldn't get all the voice actors back.
Right.
But it just takes you out of it just a little bit where they have something to say all the time except right now.
Mm-hmm. What bothered me about the Shadow Broker quest is if you like brought Garrus back with you. Sorry, if you brought Garrus along with you, there's no dialogue between him and Liara at all.
Oh, right. Really?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I forgot a lot of the, because, you know, I've played the vanilla versions of the game so often, I forget, like, all, like, if you Omega one is crazy, like, all the characters and everything, yep. really cool. In general, just a very strongly positive experience, but it did get me thinking about, like, if I could only change a couple things, like, what would they be? And number one is having a, like, Paragon and Renegade path for 3, like a very disparate kind of experience where you're not just, it's not just, you know, a change in tone in your dialogue. I'm thinking like it should have really been maybe the end of 2 is what does this, but like imagine, if you will, like one where Shepard remains with the Alliance and one where they remain with Cerberus, right? Right?
You're asking for a lot, but I understand.
I know, but yeah. But here's the thing. It's kind of like it's just a bigger version of Star Fox.
Oh, sure.
Where you have Sector X versus Sector Z.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially like so you would play on all the same planets, but you would have different objectives, you'd mm-hmm. have different like enemy palette swap or something. And I feel like because it would have been such a good opportunity. You know what else? I hate Kai Lang still.
Of course.
It's terrible. But I was thinking about the whole clone subplot, and I was like, had they played this straight, it would have been kind of cool. Where it's like, okay, so if you have, let's say you're playing a Paragon, then they could have, Cerberus could have been like, well, we have a contingency plan, and they bring mm-hmm. out your clone if they're all fucked up or something. And so if you go a Renegade path, then you, the same role is fulfilled. It's kind of like a Pokemon thing where mm-hmm. like, you know, it's kind of, it, the game plays itself around you.
Sure.
And the original plan for that was to have Kaden or Ashley be kind of hunting you down. And I just can't get that out of my head. It's such a good idea. And it's just like, it would have, oh my God. And I was really honestly forgetting all the bullshit around the game. I was really enjoying it right up until the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know. Do you want to like vent some opinions about 3?
Yeah. Just really quick. I love how we're completely off the Legendary Edition now.
No, but I mean like I think whoever is running the show now was like, maybe it'll get people to reappraise 3 a little bit because it was unfavorable at the time. And I did reappraise it. And for the most part, it's held up better than I thought it would. But there's still these things that just really drive me crazy about it.
It definitely looks a lot better now, which sure, is right. One of my issues with the original is it somehow looks worse than 2, even though it came out two years later.
It plays very smooth. The only performance issues I ran into were the cutscenes. I don't know what you played it on. But for some reason, the cutscene, like the, you know, I'm talking about like the pre-rendered cutscenes, they just ran like at half the frame rate as everything else. And the launcher was awful. Like the PC Origin launcher, it ran terribly. But everything else was very smooth. But Greg, you were going to ask something.
No, I was going to ask, like, are you saying that you thought like the Legendary Edition was a missed opportunity? Like, did you really want them to revamp stuff? Or are you saying it was really just an opportunity to reappraise what's already there?
No, no. I think what he was saying is reappraise the creative choices behind the ending especially. But I think ultimately, I would have, it's a little bit of the Demon's Souls thing where I would have liked to have seen a little bit more kind of chopping.
Oh, sure. So you're saying, like, if you have a chance to re-release this, do something with it.
Yeah. And it reviewed very well, and deservingly so. It's a very, like, performs very well. But I can't help but think, like, well, they're not going to re-release it again. I don't think.
Oh, sure.
Not for
so
a
this
long
is kind of
time.
The end of the line.
Well,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. And there's just some things you can't change. I mean, I have to applaud them for being faithful to the originals. Like, they didn't change any story points or anything like that. Although, as much as I wish that they could, I think it would have been unethical to do so.
They did change one thing. I don't know if you know about this. There's a in one of the side quests in Mass Effect 1 on one of the planets, there's like an anti-human character who is human. And so they changed him to a Turian. Good.
Makes sense.
All right. It was just like a mistake.
Pretty crazy.
Some news websites covered that.
I think it's the one with the bomb in the mine.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, I remember
yes.
that.
Pretty cool.
Oh my God.
That's more of that.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. Make some corrections if there are some mistakes here. It's
hell
okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Do you have anything that you really need to get off your chest about this trilogy? Because that's why I invited you here.
Of course. Upon revisiting the series, both the originals and the Legendary Edition, I've come to the conclusion that the first one is great. And then it's all downhill from there.
And you and I are in alignment here.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Mass Effect 2, great game, you know, on its own. I don't think it does its job as the second act of a trilogy.
Sure.
And a lot of the problems I have with 3, like story-wise, I've realized that 2 is to blame for a lot of them. Because the problem with Mass Effect 2, you know, again, let me get all the good things out of the way.
Sure.
Looks beautiful. I think, you know, plays better than the original one, at least. Mm-hmm. Combat's much smoother.
Still, it's just a little bit better now.
A little bit, yep. And character development, world building, excellent. There is no main plot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's
my problem with it.
But with that, I mean two things. So the central plot of Mass Effect 2 is entirely self-contained.
Yep.
The collectors are introduced at the beginning of that game, and by the end, they are dispatched, hardly ever mentioned again in Mass Effect 3. And even then, there are only 3 short missions in which you fight them. Even the suicide mission at the end took me a half hour.
Yeah. Right.
And beyond that, it's essentially just an anthology of short stories.
Yeah.
I mean, again, excellent character development. I love all the little side missions you go on, the places you go. It's very immersive. It's all great. The problem with Mass Effect 2 is that none of the events of that game get the Reapers any closer to the galaxy.
Sure. Yeah.
So when they just sort of show up at the beginning of 3, I'm like, huh, that's weird.
Yeah,
I thought they were trapped in dark space.
Here's the thing, because you got me thinking about that. They make it very clear in the first game that there is no other way.
Yes.
They lay down the law pretty fucking firmly. And I don't know if, like, I was like, is Vigil just kind of limited in his perspective? Or because, I mean, that's how they excuse it later on. Like, why didn't Vigil tell us about the Crucible? Oh, well, it was compartmentalized. And I'm like, okay.
At that point, it's your own headcanon is the only thing preventing the story from falling apart.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you brought that up before.
Yeah.
And that's how I see 2 is more of just fucking around in the universe. And I like that a lot. I think a video game is a good way to explore. It's a shame that the main plot is just very really the payoff is my biggest problem.
God. And this is where if they had just framed it a little differently, it could have solved almost all these problems.
Well,
because I've said this a number of times, the fact that there is no they don't tell you why they're building the human Reaper when you find it. Edie's just kind of like, I don't know. I don't have the data to speculate.
That's the other thing I noticed is that the first game, you you're always allowed to ask questions, and there's usually a pretty good answer for the most part, besides the stuff that they were clearly like, we'll you know, reveal that later. But in two, like, it's kind of like the whole, why were they doing this? I don't know. Like, they don't like, you can ask a couple questions, but nobody will have the answers
and
for you.
And here's what it should have been. That human reaper should have been Sovereign's replacement, because they still need somebody to open the Citadel relay and usher in the invasion. Because here's the thing. After you defeat the final boss in Mass Effect 2, Harbinger says, he says to the Collector General before he like shuts him off, it's like, you have failed. We will find another way.
Right.
So in my head canon, I'm like, okay, so he probably means they're going to find another way to get the Citadel open. But we don't know that for sure. So, right. Like,
We'll just drive. It'll take 6 months.
But find another way to do what? What were they doing with the collectors then?
Right.
Yeah.
If they were on their way to the galaxy anyway, then what was the whole point of that?
right. Oops.
My personal, like, you know, it's hindsight is 2020, of course, but I'm thinking about, like, I would have said that they were taking all these humans to work on a new back door in the middle of the galaxy instead of, you know, on the outside or whatever. And like, the reason why humans only were being targeted is because it's an awful thing, but there's a lot of crime that befalls Native Americans. And because they're on like sort of like this unprotected land, and it's like humanity is considered that way in the galaxy in Mass Effect, because humanity is there's a lot of lore in like the codex and stuff about how humanity is expected to prove itself by colonizing the Traverse or whatever. It's also in Batarian space, but the council won't protect them, so no one is like taking these disappearances seriously. So I'm like, it makes part, like, even if you're foregoing all like the genetic code bullshit, like, it still makes sense. You could, a couple little tiny turns in the plot, you could have made it make perfect sense. And it's just such a shame that it's just like this goofy giant Skeletor thing at the end of the day. But
like, you have to imagine what end to that, what that would have looked like. What was it going to do? Fly around space like Superman. Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
So now to Mass Effect 3. So the fact that they just sort of show up against, you know, against what had been previously established in the first game, I mainly fault Mass Effect 2 for that. Although that is not to say that Mass Effect 3 couldn't have done some things on its own to try and rectify these issues. Like, maybe just a few throwaway lines here or there to justify why after all that, they decided to just invade the galaxy manually. but you'd have to do a pretty good job trying to explain a way that they didn't do this despite the fact that I had always had the option to do so. So here's my rationale for that. Because the other infuriating thing about the third game is the fact that you can just use the Citadel and the mass relays freely, when it was previously established by Vigil that when the Reapers invaded, they shut all of that shit off to isolate each system from one another so the Protheans couldn't go back and forth. So here's my justification for that was the reason the Reapers need to invade through the Citadel is because it allows them to gain control of the whole relay network. So only after they've exhausted every possible option there, they decided, okay, fuck it. I guess we'll just invade manually, but it'll mean we can't shut the relays off. And therefore the invasion will be much harder. And that's why this is a last resort for us. If they had just had a few throwaway lines that explained these things away, it would have been so much better. But the other one final thing, I'll let you.
I'll have my day in court.
I'll turn it over to you in a bit. The problem is that because this was my headcanon up until the end, I'm like, okay, there must be a reason they can't control the Citadel. But at the end, when the elusive man tells the Reapers, yeah, they're about to use that for the Crucible, the Reapers move the Citadel to Earth. Like, oh, okay, so they could have seized control of the Citadel all along, but didn't for some fucking reason, even though it's the heart of galactic civilization. You think if they could have done this all along, they would have hit there first.
But why?
But they don't.
Right.
They did it for the Protheans.
They just happened to do it right now.
That was a big question on my mind the whole time I played this one. But I something I didn't pick up on in Mass Effect 1 is at the end of the game, Vigil talks about how the kind of thing that the Protheans leave behind for hope for the next cycle is they deactivate the signal that the Reapers send out to the Keepers. And so you're already on plan B in Mass Effect 1 because they can't control the Keepers anymore. So that's why they have to do all the conduit business. So that was my reasoning for assuming why they weren't able to control the relays to begin with. However, I like you, I do not understand why the Citadel is not like priority number one. Like, it's like, especially considering that they probably knew what the Crucible was, and they just, you know, like, all right, so let's not just give them let's just take out the Citadel like that. Like a machine would do that. You know, they wouldn't leave it for later. I don't know. It's bizarre. It's just a huge kind of they wanted their scene and they got it moment. Where it's like, oh well, now the Citadel is in play, so I don't know, man. It's odd.
It just seems so contrived. I think they just didn't want to have it so you didn't, because if Mass Effect 3 made sense, you wouldn't be able to use the Citadel the whole game.
Sure. Right?
Although again, it's like I do think you could justify being able to use the relays by means of like what I just laid out for you two.
Yeah.
It sucks that they don't do any of this. Like the fact that, oh my God, like after you defeat Kai Lang and you find out that, only now have the Reapers decided they're going to move the Citadel to Earth. It's only when they find out that you're about to use it to complete the Crucible that they do this. It's like, but like, why? If they could, could have done this all along, why didn't you do it before?
I will say there were certain things in Mass Effect 3 that I really loved, that I didn't really kind of notice before, probably because I was so disappointed. But I like the scene where you finally are in the Elusive Man's office in person and he appears via hologram and he says, "You're in my chair." I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, like, that's a really neat scene.
I like that.
And that whole part is really cool. I felt like they could have done more with the Shepard, "Am I really alive?" plot. That's kind of just like, it's like on a terminal. Do you remember what I'm talking about? I don't know. It calls into question the whole like Lazarus thing.
And yes, like, I remember.
Yep. I felt like that really, had they gone a little bit further with that would have been bonkers. But so here's my big question. I have two big questions left. Okay. Number one, how would you have done the ending differently?
Oh boy. That's a loaded question.
That's a lot.
You have finite resources. How do you handle that, like, the very ending?
If I could change one thing.
Sure.
Okay. I would reverse the unlockability of the three options you have. I would make destroy the one you have to work the hardest to get. Whereas if you do none of the side quests, synthesis, which is the clear shittiest option, is the only one you can do. And then next is control. And then if you, you know, get enough war assets and do all the things, you are able to do what you had set out to do from the very beginning. Destroy the fucking Reapers. The fact that this is painted as the worst option is appalling to me. Where clearly it is the right thing to do. Like, you convinced the Elusive Man to kill him.
Where you survive.
Yeah. And like, you, in the previous scene, you had convinced the Elusive Man to kill himself, only to find out that you could have done... Like, he was right the whole time.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. and I love like how like nonchalant they are about it. Like, well, the Elusive Man was right after all.
Shit.
He's like dead already.
It's really like almost like a half in the bag kind of thing. Like, oh, old Mr. Elusive Man was right the whole time. Oh, man. I loved that before the very final scene, which I have a few things to say about. I liked that there was a scene between you and your sort of two father figures in a way, and it was kind of grappling for you. It was one last sort of Paragon Renegade sort of, you know, I like it like conceptually. Like, I think that was a good idea, but then they kind of like layer on another, well, that's not the real ending. Greg, which ending did you pick in Mass Effect 3?
I don't even remember.
It's okay. It's just a different color. It's
talking
right.
Back in the day. I don't remember at all.
Okay.
Which one that I picked.
Do you remember which one you picked this time around? Because you played it recently, right?
I did play it recently. I think I picked Destroy.
Yeah.
That's the only Or that and refusal. That and refusal are the only two acceptable right. options.
I just like, I feel like it's very kind of the way it's very obviously the child, the hologram is obviously, it's a Reaper intelligence. Like it can, like, I think the Undersea DLC, which I loved, explains that it is the central intelligence of all the Reapers, right?
Okay.
And it's clearly acting out of self-interest. And it's a weird situation because it makes you question your free will. And it's like, well, you know, no matter what, you're going to build robots eventually and they're going to turn on you. And it's like, maybe we'll learn something from this. I don't know. Like it kind of makes it very hopeless. Like it's like, well, you got to figure something out because this is just going to keep like maybe not.
But it stands in direct contradiction to if you successfully got the Quarians and the Geth to put aside their differences. Like, yeah. It's in direct contradiction with you ending that conflict.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, well, they figured it out, you know?
Exactly.
And it's also oh, my God. Fine. So if I could change a second thing. If I could change a second thing about the ending, it would just be to remove that whole thing entirely. Not even change it. Because yeah. I loved how when you meet with Vigil at the end of the first one and you ask it, so what do the Reapers get out of this? Like, why do they keep repeating this pattern of genocide over and over? And he goes, the Reapers are alien, unknowable. Perhaps they need slaves or resources. More likely they are driven by motives and goals organic beings cannot hope to comprehend. In the end, what does it matter? Your survival depends on stopping them, not in understanding them. And okay. That to me is perfect. I know. I fucking love his voice.
I have like tears in my eyes right now. Anyway,
but it's perfect. I think the Reapers are cooler the less you know about them.
It's like most things where the mystery beats what you're shown. But I really have to agree, and I also have to say that I thought it would have been maybe more interesting if the choice was made for you based on your previous choices, where it like leads up to, you know, like a Fallout New Vegas thing, mm-hmm. where it's like the world, this is how you left the world. This is what your decisions were leading up to the whole time, just to make it a little bit more impactful. So I did have, and that kind of leads to my last big question is, Derek, you've seen the trailer for the next game, right?
I saw the very limited teaser trailer.
Yes,
I just saw you see the back of Liara's head.
And yeah, that's yeah. It. She's wearing a cloak. You see her in profile.
Yeah,
and she kind of looks.
It's like snowing. She's wearing a cloak or something.
Yeah,
I saw it like a year ago.
So I just wanted to, thinking about this now and having it all fresh in our heads, I did read a theory that I thought was interesting. I kind of assumed it was going to pick up fairly soon after 3 left off, but now I'm not so sure because someone said, well, Asari lived to be hundreds of years old.
Like 1,000.
And it could be, you know, centuries later. And she is also kind of wearing a Matriarch Benezia kind of outfit a little bit. So maybe she's in the matriarch stage of her life. And I thought that would have been kind of interesting to kind of imagine okay, so who would still be around at that point? Do you think that maybe that's what they're going to do?
It's possible. I mean,
doesn't that also give you an opportunity for kind of a redo?
The reset. You know,
well, kind of a reset? Well, they would have to because, I mean, Mass Effect 3 has three or four possible endings if you chose refusal. But, yeah, and if they're going to go that way, the only other characters they could retain are the Krogan because they also live for centuries.
Right.
Because Asari live for about 1,000 years. I think Krogan, 400, something like that.
Mm-hmm. The Salarians are very short-lived.
Yep, Salarians, just 40 years. Turians, 150. I think humans. I think I remember I read up in the Mass Effect universe. Humans also now live to 150 because you have to imagine that modern medicine
kept increasing.
Yes,
yeah. You could keep Legion's dead no matter what, so never mind. But Edie, I guess, could still be around and some of those characters, but. I often pose this at the end of if we do really long retrospectives, it's like what do you want to see versus what do you think they'll do? So I can't Do you think they're going to canonize one of the endings, or what do you think they're going to do with
that? If they did, destroy is the only logical option.
Well, she doesn't have green eyes, so I don't think it's synthesis.
Thank God. Because, I mean, if control or synthesis, you'd have the fucking Reapers flying around the galaxy all the fucking time. Shepard's consciousness would be controlling all of them, you know?
I mean, surely we're not alone, but we're also, you know, I'm sure there's people who, for whatever reason, preferred those endings, so I have no idea what they're going to do. I hope for a divorced, coherent experience that barely kind of, you know, like, oh, yeah, we'll just, you know, kind of pick up where we left off, sort of.
Are they calling it Mass Effect 4?
I think it's...
Is that a tentative title?
I don't think there's a concrete title yet, but I don't know. I just give me like the freedom again. I think that is a good. I mean, Andromeda had a great opportunity for a reboot, but we saw how that went. And
kill me now!
Oh my god!
I don't know. It made me this whole Legendary Edition made me reappreciate the series and made me hopeful that they can reinject some life into it. However that may be.
All right, so thank you guys so much for this episode. Thank you, Derek, for joining.
Of course.
Thank you, Beppy. You know, I feel like this episode kind of turned into like, you kind of said it, we kind of, what's the right word? Like reevaluated kind of what you thought of the franchise as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Good opportunity for that.
No, I agree. And we will catch you guys next time on Goddamn GameCube. Thank you.